Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Constitutional Court has rejected a bill taxing financial restitution to faith groups. The Prime Minister says the country must make massive investments in weapons. And the Czech Republic ranks 21st in the EU in gender equality. The Czech Constitutional Court has rejected legislation under which money returned to faith groups under restitution would be subject to taxation. The decision was announced on Tuesday by the court's Chief Justice, Pavel Rychetsky. A group of senators from the Christian Democrats and other parties had petitioned for the overturning of the legislation, under which a tax of 19% would be imposed on financial restitution to churches. Legislation to that effect was approved earlier this year by MPs from the coalition of ANO and the Social Democrats, as well as members of the Communist Party and Freedom and Direct Democracy. Tens of billions of crowns worth of property is being returned to churches under divisive legislation passed in 2013. However, not all assets can be handed back, and the faith groups are receiving financial compensation over a number of decades. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš says the Czech Republic must make massive investments in weapons and recruit more soldiers in view of the situation in the world today. He made the comment at an event in Prague on Tuesday, marking the centenary of the establishment of the General Staff of the Army. Mr. Babiš said he regretted the fact that Czechoslovakia's arms industry was decimated after 1989. President Miloš Zeman highlighted Czech participation in international missions and referred to the deaths of 14 Czech soldiers. He said their sacrifice demonstrated that the country's army, which had been traumatised in the past, was fighting once again. The Czech Republic has halted arms exports to Turkey in response to Ankara's incursion into northern Syria, Interior Minister Jan Hamáček said following a government meeting. Trade Minister Karel Havlíček, whose ministry had published the country's arms export figures earlier that day, said armaments exports to Turkey only made up around 140 million crowns annually. The news came after a meeting of EU foreign ministers in Luxembourg, where member states pledged to suspend weapons exports to Turkey, but didn't go so far as to implement a formal EU-wide arms embargo. The Czech Republic is 21st among EU states when it comes to ensuring equal opportunities and conditions for women and men, according to this year's Gender Equality Index. The country has fallen 4 places compared to 2005 in the index, which is produced by the European Institute for Gender Equality. The survey found that the Czech Republic was particularly poor when it came to women's participation in decision-making. It also fares badly in segregation in the labour market and education. Two Dutch citizens who brutally beat up a waiter at a Prague restaurant will serve 5.5 and 5 years in prison, the Prague Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday. In an appeal hearing, Armin Nahvi had his sentence reduced by 6 months, while his brother Arash Nahvi's earlier sentence was upheld. The sentence also includes bars on the two entering the Czech Republic for a period of 10 years. The Dutchman set upon the waiter in the outdoor section of a city centre restaurant in April 2018 after he told them they were not allowed to consume their own alcohol on the premises. The weather forecast: it should be largely overcast with the chance of rain in the Czech Republic on Wednesday, with temperatures of up to 16 degrees Celsius. Daytime highs are then expected to remain around the mid-teens Celsius for the following week. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Public Radio. I'm Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Republic suspends arms sales to Turkey over its military offensive against the Kurds in Syria while seeking a diplomatic solution. The new pipe organ of Prague's iconic St. Vitus Cathedral resounds for the first time in Barcelona, and the Czech capital's famous Lenin Wall, known for freewheeling graffiti, undergoes a radical transformation. All that coming up shortly, so please do stay tuned. The The Czech Republic has joined other EU member states in halting weapons exports to Turkey over its military offensive in northern Syria. The Czech foreign minister on Monday urged Turkey to halt the offensive and open the door to negotiations aimed at finding a political solution to the conflict. Daniela Lazareva has the details.
Although the EU stopped short of effecting a legally binding embargo on weapons exports to NATO ally Turkey, a host of EU countries followed up the agreement to limit arms exports by suspending all weapons exports to the country. The Czech Republic is among them, Interior Minister Jan Hamáček.
All licenses to export weapons and ammunition to Turkey have been suspended, and new ones will not be issued until the situation has been cleared up. The Czech Republic is coordinating its steps with its EU partners, and it is also consulting the matter within the Visegrad 4 group of states.
Czech firms had licenses to export arms, ammunition and land vehicles as well as technology for military aircraft to Turkey. Trade and Industry Minister Karel Havlíček said the suspension of licenses has affected all military exports without exception.
It is a broad mix of export items, and I do not want to specify the firms or weapons concerned. According to our information, none of them are being used in the military offensive in Syria, but we have taken the precaution of suspending military exports across the board.
Meanwhile, Czech Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček has once again urged Turkey to halt the military offensive in northern Syria and open the door to negotiations. The Czech Foreign Minister summoned the Turkish ambassador to Prague on Monday to table an official protest against Turkey's actions, noting that while the Czech Republic respects Turkey's right to defend its border, it strongly opposes the military offensive deep into Syrian territory.
Our priority is for Turkey's concerns to be addressed through diplomatic negotiations. We are ready to hold talks, but the precondition is that a ceasefire be effected in northeastern Syria and that Ankara halts the unilateral offensive, which already has many victims among the civilian population.
Czech officials have condemned the military offensive across the board, with some politicians speaking of betrayal and violation of international law. Some centre-right opposition MPs are also attaching blame to the Czech Prime Minister, Andrej Babiš, for having said in early September that the Visegrad 4 states support Ankara's intention to create a safe zone for refugees in northern Syria. Prime Minister Babiš, who made it clear he condemned the military offensive, defended himself with the argument that at the time there had been no talk of an invasion. He expressed regret that the EU had not done more to prevent the military offensive and push for a diplomatic solution.
Daniela Lazareva with that report. Now, the new pipe organ for St. Vitus Cathedral in Prague resounded for the first time on Monday in a workshop near Barcelona, Spain, where the instrument is being built. The pipe organ was commissioned by the Catholic Church, and part of its cost, estimated at 80 million crowns, was raised in a public collection. Ruth Frankova has more.
The men to test the new pipe organ for St. Vitus Cathedral, a symbol of Czech statehood and home to the Czech crown jewels, was Josef Kšica, who will be playing the instrument in Prague's most famous temple. He shared his first impressions with Czech radio.
It went really well. It really is a unique instrument. I have to say, I am utterly charmed and I cannot wait to play it in the cathedral.
Mr. Kšica only played about a third of the organ's keys since its full sound would be too strong for the workshop.
The
pipe organ in Prague is pneumatic, so the sound is slightly delayed. This has a mechanical key action with four manuals, so it is very accurate. The pedal is also accurate because it is electric, which helps to sound the bass tones.
The current provisional organ, with its 4,500 pipes built in 1932 and located in the left wing of the cathedral, is not strong enough to fill the whole church. The newly built organ will have 6,500 pipes and its sound should fill the whole space of the monumental building. The renowned Spanish organ maker Gerhard Grenzing, whose company won a public tender to build the new pipe organ for St. Vitus, says the construction itself was not the most difficult part of the whole process.
The hardest moment was when we had to discuss the height of the organ with the monument protection. It is hard for us to lower the organ because we know then it will be still more difficult to make it sound correctly.
The new instrument will be installed in the neo-Gothic organ loft from 1929, located above the main entrance, but only after some adjustments are made, explains Štěpán Svoboda, organologist from the Prague Archdiocese.
Kvůli varhanám na západním kůru je potřeba kůr.
Choir loft needs to be strengthened and the current wooden construction and floor replaced. We also have to bring in electricity because the current supply is insufficient.
Současný přívod elektřiny je nedostačující.
The author of the design of the instrument, Slovak car designer Peter Olach, says he found inspiration in Panská Skála, a basalt hill near the North Bohemian town of Kamenický Šenov, which resembles an organ pipe.
We didn't want to make a pseudo-historic instrument. We wanted to create an impression that the composition is floating in the air. We regard it as a jewel to the crown of the cathedral, as a necklace hanging below the rose window.
The new pipe organ for St. Vitus Cathedral will now be disassembled and transported to Prague. It will first resound through the cathedral on the 15th of June next year, on the day of St. Vitus, the patron saint of Bohemia.
Ruth Frankova reporting. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Public Radio, where it's now time for our main feature with Vincent Farnsworth. The Lenin Wall, located in a secluded square in Malastrana near the French embassy, has long been a place where anyone was free to do any type of graffiti they wished, though the general subject was John Lennon and world peace. This symbol of freedom, born in the communist years, later became a significant Prague landmark, connected with the dissident years and the Velvet Revolution. But the overwhelming interest in it proved too much, and the famous wall is now undergoing a major transformation.
This is what it used to sound like at Prague's Lenin Wall. That's the sound of spray paint as tourists and others leave their various messages on the wall. This is what it sounds like now. That's the sound of machines and workers tearing down the facade of the wall, removing all the graffiti as they renovate the entire space. Since last week, the whole wall has been covered with a tarp and scaffolding, along with no trespassing signs. The Lenin Wall, located in a secluded square in Malastrana near the French embassy, had long been a traditional place where anybody was free to do any type of graffiti they want, though the general subject was John Lennon and world peace. It wasn't always so free. The history of the wall dates back to the communist era of Prague, when dissidents used the wall to commemorate John Lennon and leave anti-government messages, often leading to clashes with the police. The wall is on the property of the Grand Priory of Bohemia of the Order of Malta, and the organization is working together with Prague One city government to make the changes, because of increasing problems recently. Tour guides have been bringing large groups to the wall and encouraging mass graffiti by handing out spray paints and stencils. Local residents complain that the tours are often the last stop after pub crawls, which mean the tour groups are sometimes drunk and noisy when they are being encouraged to graffiti, which often isn't about Lenin or peace anymore. I asked Johannes Lobkowitz, the chancellor of the Grand Priory of Bohemia, about the changes at the wall.
You wanted to know why the changes are happening in the first place. It was like this. The wall was under enormous pressure during the summer. vandals and all sorts of organized groups of tourists gathered around it and drew nonsense images and vulgarities and were a nuisance. In general, they destroyed the symbolic value of the place without any respect. Only tourists, of course, and no Czechs. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we agreed on the need to change the situation with the local authorities and especially with the people living nearby who had their walls sprayed all the time, the trees sprayed and the cars sprayed. It was really unbelievable. You know, I'll tell you, vandalism at its worst. People coming to Prague only to get drunk and ruin something.
I asked Lobkowitz if his organization had filed a criminal complaint with the city about the vandalism.
Yes, without any effect, because how do you find someone like that? No? The reconstruction was started this week, and it is going to last until approximately the half of November. Our target is the 15th of November, and we hope that by this time we are going to show a new look of the wall.
I talked to a couple from Switzerland visiting the wall. Richard Shaw is originally from Ireland, and Christine Shaw is originally from England.
I was expecting to see some artwork and maybe some graffiti, and I didn't really know what to expect.
A little bit the same. I wasn't quite sure whether it was John Lennon or L-E-N-I-N, but I wasn't expecting a blue canvas, I have to say.
Well, we hadn't heard that it was covered, so yeah, I was a little surprised. Disappointed not to see it.
Disappointed, but I can understand exactly the reasons why they're doing what they're doing.
Lobkowitz said that how the final project will look is not completely known and it might change over time.
We don't absolutely know ourselves yet because it will be in the hands of artists. The symbolism connected to John Lennon will be clearly expressed on it. There has to stay a connection. We're also going to inform the public about the historical reasons why it is connected to John Lennon. I don't know whether you know. And his work, and what its meaning for the local people is. It's strongly connected to the so-called Velvet Revolution, which happened 30 years ago and ended in the long-lasting communist regime, as you know. And the symbolism was, in a way, also expressed on the wall. However, the specific final look is going to be in the hands of artists whom we are cooperating with. And it is very open. It will be an open-air gallery. Becoming an open-air gallery, it is clear that vandalism of any other way of violating or damaging the wall with its surroundings will be completely restricted. No way. We want to make the space respectful again and give it back its former magical atmosphere connected to its history. But we are going to announce the final rules of the place after we agree on them with local authorities. I mean, it's a huge wall, you know. I'm sure it's not going to be only one person. It's probably going to be five or six who are going to be doing it in the beginning. And I expect that we'll be changing every half year or year with a new theme.
The public will probably still be able to write messages on the new wall, but in a limited way.
We could imagine that there would be a free space where the many many people who love the wall and wanted to sign with a pen will be available, but there will be definitely no more spraying.
So the Lennon Wall and the surrounding area will no longer be a free-for-all for graffiti artists, taggers, and drunken tourists. In addition, surveillance cameras are being installed and police patrols will be increased. The timing of these changes is interesting. Right now in Hong Kong, the pro-democracy movement, inspired by the Prague example in their struggle against China's Communist Party, have made their own version of the Lenin Wall, all at the same time that Prague's Lenin Wall is entering a new chapter in its history. While the renovation went on in the background, Sarah Enser of the United States told me about how she had been looking forward to seeing the wall.
I'm a big Beatles fan, but also a fan of his music. And I think it's nice that a community can come together and do that kind of stuff until it gets out of hand. But, I think it would have been nice to see just lots of love and peace and graffiti. I know there's always going to be another chance to see more of the world, come back to Prague. So I guess I'll have to wait until it's completed.
We don't yet know exactly what the new Lenin Wall will look like when it's finished, but it's scheduled to be ready for the anniversary of the Velvet Revolution on November 17th.
And that edition of In Focus on the Lenin Wall with Vincent Farnsworth brings us to the end of our program. If you tuned in late, not to worry. The full broadcast is available on our website at radio.cz. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, of course, and invite you to follow us there. If you have any questions or comments, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. Meanwhile, for me, Brian Kennedy, and the rest of the Radio Prague International team, thanks for listening and goodbye for now.